Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Mungadas St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
And a very good Friday evening to you. Joe Pott with you here on KMOX. It is the Mungadas St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. We've got a bunch to get to for you here tonight. We're going to have all kinds of good guests for you. And we'll talk about really whatever is going on. Not a ton going on right now, but we'll touch on as much as we can. I'm in for Chris Raby tonight, and Chris Raby is soon to be making his way out to the West Coast. He'll be giving us some live updates and live input from the winter meetings, baseball's winter meetings. He and Mike Claiborne are out there, and we'll hear a lot from them next week as the baseball winter meetings really get cooking. One of the folks we'll talk to later tonight is Annie Rogers, the beat writer for the Cardinals, for MLB.com. Talk to her about what she feels like the Cardinals may be going after and what they might do here at the winter meetings coming up. As always, on a Friday, we'll hear from Darren Pang, the Blues insider, and of course the part of the broadcast team for the Blues on Fox Sports Midwest. We'll also visit with Bob Ramsey, the voice of the Billikens, Vinny Iyer of the Sporting News. He's their NFL writer, and we'll take a visit to some of the best of the week. We'll hear from Craig Edwards. He visited with Chris Raby a little bit earlier on in the week, and so we will hear from him towards the end of the program here tonight. We've got you till about 8 o'clock tonight here on the Mungadas St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. Of course, as I mentioned, the baseball winter meetings are getting underway here in just a bit. Teams are starting to move. There are some deals being done. One of local interest, Tommy Pham, was dealt last night by the Tampa Bay Rays to the San Diego Padres. He was dealt for Hunter Renfroe and also Xavier Edwards, who's an infielder, a prospect. Hunter Renfroe, though, is the biggest part of that deal going back from San Diego to Tampa Bay. And Tommy Pham has been very good for the Rays. I heard a little bit of speculation that maybe it might have a little bit to do with he made some comments last year about the fan support in Tampa. Obviously, you know that he made some remarks, or he did an interview really with Sports Illustrated, and that may or may not have rankled the feathers a little bit here in St. Louis. So interesting that if that's the case, that now it's twice now that maybe he has upset some folks and gotten himself shown the door, but he'll go to San Diego. And as I said, Hunter Renfroe is the player, the big player, going back from San Diego to Tampa Bay. This past year, he hit just .216, drove in 64 runs, though, hit 33 home runs, and that was playing obviously half the season there in Petco Park, which is a tough place to hit. So they're getting a pretty good power back, pretty good outfielder there in Hunter Renfroe in exchange for Tommy Pham. The Cincinnati Reds have been busy. They made a deal earlier this, I guess it was probably last week at this point, to get Mike Moustakas, who looks like he's going to be playing second base for the Reds, coming over from the Brewers. Of course, he's been a third baseman primarily for Milwaukee, and then before that for Kansas City. But it looks like he's going to play at second base for the Reds. And I think they are going to be improved a lot, and it's going to be interesting. They're going to put some pressure certainly on those above them and those in front of them in the Central Division, which includes the Cardinals and the Cubs. At this point, the Milwaukee Brewers, but they are losing some pieces. They also lost Yasmani Grandal. Now, they did make an acquisition here yesterday, I believe. They made a they picked up a catcher to kind of take over where they are, obviously now without Yasmani Grandal, who they knew, I think, was a good chance he was only going to be there for the 1 year. So he had a pretty good year, and he got paid for it. So he is headed out, and then, and I'm blanking on who they traded for a catcher from Seattle is where they got that. Narvaez, Mike Anderson tells me, helping me out here on the other side. So I don't know much about Narvaez, to be honest. And they still have a catcher. They still have another catcher on the roster. But teams are making moves. We will hear from Annie Rogers coming up here in just a little bit about what she thinks maybe the Cardinals are going to do, if anything. And I had a chance to talk to John Mozeliak last night at the Jack Buck Awards, just asking him if he's going to San Diego with a wish list, if there are things that they want, pieces that they want. Of course, he's not going to be giving me any kind of specifics, and I don't expect him to be giving any kind of specifics. And he did say that obviously there are some things, some targets, and they don't know if if they'll be available, and if not, then they'll have to make some changes as to what they're thinking. Carlos Martinez, we've been told, is going to be working out as a starter, and he is in Jupiter, and that is reason for, I think, optimism on my part. Again, that's something specifically to talk to Annie Rogers about, but that makes me happy. I like the fact that Carlos Martinez is working out and trying to get ready as a starter. Now, can he get there, or can his shoulder sustain it? That's the big question, and I think that remains to be seen. But I think that this is a guy that has clearly shown you that he has the ability to throw 200 innings and be a starter entrenched in that rotation. He also can be nasty and can be dominating. But can he do it physically? Again, that's certainly the question. But I like the fact that he is in Jupiter working out under the purview of the Cardinal coaches. I just think that certainly helps the situation. We were told last year, he was working out, but not under the Cardinals coaches. He was working out in the Dominican Republic, and it was one of those situations where, they didn't have that immediate supervision over him and the kind of workouts he was performing, the kind of throwing program he was on, any of that. And I think that is something, that was lacking, and that kind of, I'm not going to say it led to injuries or it led to the complications. It didn't help things. And maybe even it was something that maybe they could have come up with or they could have identified earlier on in the process if, in fact, he was working out under the Cardinals purview as he is now there in Jupiter with their coaches. So that's something we'll talk to Annie Rogers about, and that's something we'll continue to follow throughout the offseason. The Blues are back home tomorrow night. They'll play Toronto. That's a 6 o'clock puck drop at Enterprise Center. For the next five games are at home for the Blues. Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic reports today that Shen was on the ice, Steen was on the ice, Sammy Blais was on the ice. So this is a team that has been doing all that they are doing, and it's been fantastic, by the way. They remain, they still have the best record in the Western Conference at 18-6-6 after a loss Wednesday night at Pittsburgh. And they're doing all of this with some pretty significant pieces missing and some pieces out of the lineup. And so now if you start talking about, okay, maybe some of these pieces are going to start making their way back to the lineup, you want to talk about some reason for optimism. My goodness. And the rest of the NHL has got to be saying, you got to be kidding me, that this is a team that is without Vladimir Tarasenko, without the three we just mentioned, just some serious injuries. And yet here they are with 42 points, 18 wins, 6 overtime losses. So 18-6-6, 42 points. They're 4 points clear of Colorado in the Central Division. They're 4 points clear of Arizona, who leads the Pacific Division with 38 points. And now they have a chance to be getting some of these pieces back and healthy, and they're just going to get stronger. Oh, by the way, they probably have the best goalie tandem in the league. If it wasn't enough that you've got Jordan Binnington and all he did last year and continuing to this year, now you've got Jake Allen, who has really played well in his time in net. And so you've got two quality goaltenders in the back as well, and as I said, now you might be getting some of those pieces back, so that is fantastic as well. Darren Pang will be with us later in the 6 o'clock hour. First up, it's Annie Rogers. She's the Cardinal beat writer for MLB.com. Had a chance to visit with her. You're going to hear that on the other side of the break as we continue here on KMOX. It is the Munganess St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott, and we'll talk with Annie Rogers on the other side of this break after this on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Limburg. On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Always a good time to talk some Cardinal baseball on the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. Joe Pott with you, and I'm joined by Annie Rogers, the beat writer for the Cardinals for MLB.com. And Annie, how's the quote-unquote off-season working out for you right now?
Oh, it's pretty nice. I like actually, being able to stay in St. Louis, kind of explore the city a little bit since I've moved here. So that's been kind of nice, but always itching for baseball season, of course.
Okay, so what have you found then that you maybe didn't know or had heard about, or what have you explored? What are your some hidden gems you found?
I'm a big runner, so love Forest Park. Been getting there a few times, and that's been fun for me. And, you know, various trails around the city. And then St. Louis has a great coffee scene. So I've been kind of exploring some coffee shops. I got a lot of recommendations on Twitter for it. So I've been going to check in those off my list and working there. So it's been a lot of fun going to different parts of the city.
I can get on board with the coffee. The running, I'm still not I'll do it, but it's not if I had my choice between the coffee and the running, I'm definitely going coffee.
Yeah, well, me too, but, you know, the running, I kind of have to do it.
Let's get into a little off-season talk, and I know there's not a ton of off-season for those of us, certainly you, more so than me, covering a team on a daily basis, but some cool news here this week. Player and Pitcher of the Year for the Cardinals, their organization for the minor leagues. Dylan Carlson, I don't think is any surprise at all. Obviously, the year he had a 914 OPS, 26 homers, 28 RBIs, a great year. I think most Cardinal fans know about him. I don't know if most Cardinal fans know about Angel Rondon, their Pitcher of the Year, as they chose, who went 11-7, a 2.9 ERA between Palm Beach and Springfield. Tell me a little bit about what you know or you know, what went behind this choice for the Cardinals for Angel Rondon.
Yeah, it was more just about, you know, his potential. The Cardinals really like what they've seen from him and just kind of what, you know, what they've seen. You know, obviously, like you said, Carlson is no surprise there. He, you know, dominated the Texas League, got the promotion and everything, but yeah, Rondon, it's more about the future for them. And Carlson, obviously, a big part of their future. But, you know, you look to the pitching and the development of the pitching that the Cardinals have had in the past, and they see more of that with Angel, too, which is kind of what went into that decision. But, yeah, a lot of potential there. He really impressed a lot of different people within the organization. That's mostly what went into that decision.
So the winter meetings are fast approaching, and obviously there's a little bit of hot stove action already going on in the major leagues. Yesterday, Mark Feinsand reports that maybe the Cardinals might be in on Madison Bumgarner, 30-year-old left-hander from San Francisco, spent the bulk of his all of his career in San Francisco, but then he throws out the number of possibly $100 million. And I think anybody who follows the Cardinals, watches this team, I can't believe and get behind the fact that the Cardinals might be willing to throw $100 million Madison Bumgarner's way. What do you think? What do you feel?
Yeah, well, I think, first you have to, read between the lines there. They're just interested in potentially getting in on the bidding. They're feeling it out, and they've always really been interested in Madison Bumgarner. He's a lefty. He's a veteran. He would add a lot to that rotation. The starting pitcher market is very vast, and it has a lot of variety, and the Cardinals have to be in it, right? Even though they want Carlos Martinez to make a return to the rotation, it would do the Cardinals well to explore the starting pitching market. And they've always been interested in the left-handers and the Madison Bumgarner types because he's an established postseason presence, and they love that, obviously. I wouldn't get too worked up about the price yet because they haven't thrown their hat in the ring and said, we're going after Madison Bumgarner, but they're interested and they always have been and they will continue to be. I know that there are lots of other teams that are interested in him and probably a little bit more willing to spend, but ultimately it's going to be where Bumgarner feels that he fits. And the Cardinals have always been, you know, on his interested list.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it makes perfect sense. I think from both sides, really. He clearly fits what the Cardinals like, what they have historically been. And I think for, you know, for him, staying in the National League, coming to a team that is coming off a year in which they won the division, won a series in the postseason. So, yeah, I absolutely agree. I just saw those two together in the same piece, the $100 million and the possibility. I know, you know, it'll be interesting. It'll be one of the things to watch, certainly. What else are you watching for? What are you hearing? What are you thinking about what the Cardinals are doing going into San Diego in the winter meetings?
I think it's going to be more of a little bit more of what we saw from the general manager's meetings. I think back in what was that, October, November? Losing track of my timeline here. But it's going to be more of continuing those conversations and exploring trade talks. Like you said, with the money aspect, the financial aspects of this, the Cardinals aren't looking to spend huge unless the right value comes along and the right price comes with it, of course. But, you know, if they have the trade pieces to explore trades, and so I think that more of that's going to go on. And then, obviously, of course, meeting with agents and looking at free agent pitchers and other pieces that they could possibly add. I think more of that's going to go on. I don't know if, you know, a bombshell trade or, you know, a huge blockbuster signing is going to happen next week. And unfortunately for all those Cardinals fans that are listening, I'm sorry to break it to you, but, you know, anything can happen. But I do think that there's going to be more exploring and talking and meetings, of course, that go on next week.
So let's get back to the pitching, because you mentioned Carlos Martinez already, and I do want to get into that a little bit because, you know, we've heard, we've been told, we've read, he is working out in Jupiter. Now, that's the big difference from last year at this time. Well, when we obviously knew he was working out, but he was working out in the Dominican Republic. Why is it such a big deal? Why should fans, you know, be maybe excited or at least optimistic that he's now working out in Jupiter?
Well, the Cardinals want to just monitor his workload and what he's doing this offseason. Just by where he is, just, you know, making sure that he's healthy enough and his shoulder can withstand those innings if he does get back to the rotation. That should be exciting for the Cardinals because they're seeing firsthand how this is going to go and how it is going for Carlos. And, you know, that allows them to, like I said, see firsthand, but then also be able to say, okay, this isn't going as well. Let's turn our attention to another pitcher that maybe we can fill out our rotation and keep Carlos for the bullpen, or this is going really well. We're really excited about the rotation. So we'll learn more a little bit about that next week, but yeah, it is exciting that he's in Jupiter. He's with team officials. He's begun his throwing program and yeah, it's exciting because they're able to see that firsthand and kind of see where his workload is taking him.
I'm excited by it. I think that this is a guy that has clearly proven that he is capable of being a 200 innings guy. I feel like that is, you know, where you're getting the most out of a Carlos Martinez. When he is doing that, when he's doing that well, he can be dominant. It's just obviously a matter of, as you just said, you know, can he hold up and can he do it physically? But I'm excited. I'm in that camp that is excited to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is exciting because we've seen what he's been able to do as a starter in the past. But it's also exciting because if he can't, you know, that's very, you know, sad that his shoulder isn't as healthy, but he's also a really viable option out of the bullpen. So I think, you know, the Cardinals are excited for his value next year, regardless of where he fits into their team. And I know they want to kind of hone in on the role that he's going to have, but regardless, I think he's going to bring a lot of value to the team.
And then obviously if that's, you know, the direction we go, it's going to be internally that the Cardinals will fill the back end of that bullpen, right? Someone like a Helsley or even a Gallegos. Obviously, you've got Andrew Miller there before Jordan Hicks comes back.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way that you want to look. I wouldn't rule out, you know, them trying to see what they can find on the market for a bullpen piece, just because of, you know, if, you know, the right player comes along at the right price, like I said earlier, they'll want to jump on that. There are a few pieces out there that could add a lot to this Cardinals bullpen, but I think it probably is more likely that they'll turn internally go with, you know, Ryan Helsley, Giovanni Gallegos. Andrew Miller has done it. John Gant is likely to, you know, get a raise via arbitration and be back with the team. So, yeah, I think internally is probably the way to go, but like I said, you never know.
All right, Annie Rogers, I'm putting you on the spot. We've talked a bunch of Cardinals, talked a bunch of baseball. You are a Missouri Tiger, an alum. any thoughts on the coaching search currently going on in Columbia?
All right, my thoughts is it's a mess, it seems like.
It does, doesn't it?
I'm not envious of the reporters covering that coaching search, that's for sure.
Well, Annie, I certainly appreciate you taking some time here on a Friday night to talk a little baseball and to throw a little Mizzou at us. You can follow Annie Rogers, A-N-N-E underscore Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S on Twitter. Always my pleasure. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
That's Annie Rogers with us. It is the St. Louis Honda Munganest St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. We're coming back on KMOX right after this.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation, America's sports voice, KMOX. Welcome back to the Munganess St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. Munganess pre-owned on South Limburg on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Joe Pott with you on a Friday night. Glad you're hanging out with us as we bring you all the sports news, all there is anyway. Not a ton going on right now. Of course, the Blues are in full swing and they've taken a couple of days off, which actually probably feels like an eternity. They've been playing some back-to-back games and playing a lot of games here in the last couple of weeks. Nice little stretch right here. The Blues will play five of the next six games at home. It starts tomorrow night with a 6 o'clock game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. They'll go to Buffalo on Tuesday, and that's the only road game in that stretch. They have Vegas at home next week on Thursday. They've got the Blackhawks, Colorado and Edmonton the following week on Monday and Wednesday, and then they'll go out to the West and they'll hit up San Jose, the Kings, Winnipeg. They actually have a home-and-home with Winnipeg on Friday and Sunday. That's the 27th and 29th. Man, I can't believe we are already looking at the end of the calendar year. We are coming down to the end of 2019, and it's ridiculous to me that we are even talking about that fact. But we are. But currently, as I said, the Blues, five of the next six at home. This is really, and again, had a chance to visit with Doug Armstrong last night as well on Sports Open Line. And this is really where you can bank those points. You think about last season and how much they had to come from behind. And that's obviously the big story. They came from last place all the way into the playoffs. And obviously, we know what happened next. But when you are banking the points now and banking those wins now, you're not worried about then trying to make all that up and trying to stretch in February and in March coming down the stretch as the Blues are doing last year. And Doug Armstrong acknowledged that last night as well and really pointed to the head coach, Craig Berube, for how good this team is at moving past wins and losses. Okay, so don't, you know, it's not as ever as bad as it seems. It's not ever as good. You know, you're not as good as you seem. So, you know, you take the loss and you take the wins even, and you move on and you put them behind you and you move on to the next one. And that's what this team has been so good at. Darren Pang obviously follows the Blues even closer than all of us do. And he is with this team and travels with the team and part of the Fox Sports Midwest broadcast crew. Brian Feldman had a chance to catch up with Darren Pang earlier this morning and bring a little Pang with Darren Pang. So here's Brian Feldman with Darren Pang.
Time now to bring the Pang on KMOX. It is brought to you by T.R. Hughes Homes, St. Charles's premier home builder. Blues analyst Darren Pang with us on KMOX. And Panger, the Blues had their point streak snapped against Pittsburgh earlier this week, still playing tremendous hockey, top in points in the Western Conference. Anything to worry about after that game earlier this week against Pittsburgh?
No, I don't think so. I just think that Pittsburgh's very much a similar team to the Blues. I think they're a hardworking team as well. They've got a lot of injuries and younger players that slide in that maybe you're not too aware of who they are. But I think overall, giving up a goal 35, 38 seconds into a hockey game is a tough pill to swallow. But still, when they gave up that goal, Brian, I still felt like they had a lot of chances. They had a couple of power plays that I thought let them down, but good chances on the power play. So I never felt at any point when it was 1-0 that the Blues weren't going to come back and tie it up. And even in fact, even when it was 2-0, I still had confidence watching the way they were playing. And maybe they didn't play their best game, but I think you've got to give Pittsburgh some respect and some credit for the way that they play.
How about the renaissance behind Jake Allen and how well he has played throughout that four-game winning streak before they lost to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, real solid. Real, you know, he's battling hard. I mean, giving them a chance, even in the game in Ottawa, when they were behind in that game, I know that was earlier in the season, but I thought that was a real telltale sign of where the team was at. He'd given up a goal that wasn't a very good goal against, but then he came back right after that with an unbelievable save, and I was between the bench for that game. I'm thinking to myself, there's a lot of spirit here with this guy in the net and the way they wanted to battle for him and not let him down. So I think from that game on, I mean, he's been spectacular. The goaltending's been excellent. I mean, I'd give the goaltending an A plus, an A or an A plus, however you want to do it. I think they've been fantastic, and they've given them a chance to win every game.
I mean, how important is it to have such a bona fide second goalie where you're not totally 100% reliant on one person for the entire season? I mean, Craig Berube says both are going to play between Allen and Jordan Binnington.
You absolutely have to have that now. You have to. I mean, the scheduling, the way it is, the energy that you need, your backup goaltender or your number two goaltender, however you want to phrase it, I believe has got to give you 12 to 15 wins. That's a lot of wins during the course of a year. You're talking about, you know, 26 to 30 points. So it is necessary that the goalie doesn't just fill a void. The goalie's got to come in and even if he sat on the bench for a week or week and a half or 2 weeks, he's got to come in and he's got to be probably a difference maker in that game. So you look around the NHL, the teams that are having success are the teams that have had a really good goaltending tandem. You know, the teams that rely on one goaltender, pay him a boatload of money, and don't have anything else, they're not doing as well as the guys that have the teams that have two guys in a great tandem.
Brian Feldman with Darren Pang here on KMOX. How about the ascension of Nathan Walker to the first line? Now, injuries have a lot to do with it, but still speaks to his development.
It does. It speaks to his development. I think his training camp, we know, was a very good training camp. Brian, all you have to do is take a veteran player that was in his group, because they're all sectioned off into, you know, A, B, and C groups, and ask, you know, how is he? Can he make a play? Is he legitimate? And you know, a good old pro will tell you where a player is. So I sat down with Alexander Steen a number of times in the same unit, and I said, I know he's fast. I know he's kind of small. He's got a little bit of gumption out there. He's pretty tenacious. Can he play? And he said, absolutely, he can play. He's an NHL player. And I thought, well, when they did send him down, I mean, it's unfortunate because the numbers aren't there. But what I loved about Nathan Walker is he went down to the American Hockey League, and he was, you know, at one point he was tops in goals. He was tops in power play goals. And he was leading the way there as a veteran player, and he's only 25 years of age. So it's nice to see that when Craig Berube sees a player in his roster and he sees that maybe he can help out on a different line or in a different situation, he's not afraid to throw that player up there. And I think that gives players like Nathan Walker a great deal of confidence coming up to the NHL and being with a new team for the first time.
And this experience for him is probably going to be crucial, even as some of the injured players start to come back. They're probably going to need him later on in the year, and this important experience he's getting is probably going to be very beneficial.
Yeah, maybe the worrisome part, though, is that now that he's been up here a little bit and has played well, that he's going to have to go through waivers to go back down if that's going to be the case. So, you know, we've seen that in the past where you take a player from the minors and you know, you like that player, but now there's no roster room because all the injuries are up and everybody's healthy, and then you've got to send that player down and he's got to clear waivers. You're just crossing your fingers to hope that he does.
Brian Feldman with Darren Pang here on KMOX. We are bringing the Pang. Injury updates. Anybody close to coming back from things that you're hearing?
Well, yes, actually, Oscar Sundquist. I mean, for him to go on that trip was a bit of a surprise. Skated on Wednesday. I think now as we look at it, he would be getting closer. Those are tough injuries. I think they want to be very careful. An ankle sprain at the NHL level or basketball, at any level, but I think it's the firmness of the boot and the sharpness of the blade that you have to be careful about when you come back from an injury like that. So we knew when the boys were on the road that Alexander Steen had been skating. So that process was moving along. So that's really good news. We know that Sammy Blais and Vladi Tarasenko are not imminent players to return, as we well know. But the other two, the two Swedes with the bad ankles, yeah, they're getting closer.
Always good to hear. How about Toronto tomorrow? What's going on with the Maple Leafs? Fired Mike Babcock, not playing overly well. What do you see going on with the Maple Leafs right now?
No, I see a team that that is having a hard time competing with the way that the good teams are playing right now. The good teams are the St. Louis Blues, the way that the Blues play. The defending teams, the New York Islanders are a solid team. They defend hard. They stop and start. The Boston Bruins are a top echelon team. They do the same thing. We're seeing the difficulties with teams like Tampa Bay. They're still trying to, you know, play this puck possession, offensive-minded game that when they turn the puck over, they're not exactly coming back hard in their own zone or defending. And I think Toronto's kind of stuck in that as well right now. They've got an excellent team. They've got phenomenal forwards. If you want to play a road hockey game with them, I call it, or a pond hockey game with them, and you want to exchange chances on the rush, then you're going to be in trouble. But if you want to stop and start and check hard and be strong on six, then you're going to have success against Toronto.
All right. Darren Pang and Brian Feldman here with you on KMOX. Did you get a chance to hear the Jack Buck Awards last night? Craig Berube honored as Sports Personality of the Year, and Bobby Plager, not coincidentally, gets the Legends Award at the Jack Buck Awards. But pretty cool for both of those to be honored.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm so sorry that I missed it. I planned on being there. I went off to NHL Network in New Jersey and did three shows that night. But I heard it went magnificently. And nice to see Doug Armstrong there, John Kelly there, guys supporting Craig Berube and Bobby Plager. I'm not surprised. The one thing I found out through last year and this year is, number one, I mean, you know, Craig Berube's a revered person. He's a and it shows by the, you know, by the accolades he's getting now. But he's just always been a good person. I've known him for a long time, and to have Bobby being recognized once again is appropriate. So nice to see that the Army and John Kelly, I know others were there as well. So, and Tom Ackerman doing a great job hosting. So well done all the way around.
All right, that is Darren Pang bringing the Pang right here on KMOX.
And thanks to Brian Feldman for his visit there with Darren Pang. Thanks to Darren Pang for always taking the time for us each week. Obviously a busy schedule for Darren Pang as he is in and out of arenas, between the glass and in the booth and all the places that he is. So nice of him to take the time. And again, thanks to Brian Feldman for helping us out as well. And we have Darren Pang with us. We're bringing the Pang every Friday, so stay tuned for that on the little bit in the morning. And then we've got it always at night on the Munganast to St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. They mentioned the Jack Buck Awards. I want to let you know, tomorrow, actually the first time those are going to re-air from 5 to 7 tomorrow, you can tune in and you can hear the Jack Buck Awards. If you did not get a chance to listen last night, Mike Anderson is across the board from me right now, and I were both there last night, and what a fantastic night. And we had a chance to sit in and hear some of this and really get to, you know, hear a lot of emotion, a lot of stories, and it all spoke to what is good about St. Louis sports. And it was a fun night to be there. It's going to be great to hear again on the radio. So if you didn't get a chance, I would invite you to certainly listen tomorrow. If for nothing else, listen for Bob Plager's speech, and he is very close to the top of the show. He got the Legend Award, as you heard Brian Feldman mention there with Darren Pang. That is a well-deserved honor for that man, let me tell you. But he gives an emotional, heartfelt speech, as you would imagine. If you haven't heard, you know, Bobby Plager talking about what this means to him and his family and this run to the Cup and what it's been like all through the spring and the summer as he celebrated that, you'll certainly, you know, you'll understand, and you probably expect, you know, what's coming up there a little bit from Bobby Plager. But that was great. John Mozeliak received an award. He was also very good. Nafisa Collier, who is the WNBA Rookie of the Year, and she's an Incarnate Word Academy alum. She received an award last night. She was introduced by her high school head coach. So all of that is available. As Darren said, Tom Ackerman hosted, did a fantastic job in honor, obviously, of Jack Buck. And that was really his signature event, or one of his signature events in the city. But it was a fantastic night. And the other thing is, if you haven't had a chance, or if you have a chance in the future to get out to one of the Jack Buck Awards ceremonies, my gosh, take that opportunity. Sit down. You're going to have a great meal. You're going to enjoy some great company, some great stories. MLS for the Lou was honored last night as well. Bill McDermott was there. He presented MLS for the Lou, actually, with the Jack Buck Award. So all of that and more, all available tomorrow night, 5 to 7. And I'm sure you'll hear it throughout the month. We'll play it a couple of times throughout the month of December. So you get a chance to hear that. And that's the first time you can catch it, is tomorrow. We've got plenty more to come here on the Mungenass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. Next hour, we're going to hear from Bob Ramsey, Vinny Iyer, Craig Edwards, all to come. This is Camo X.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.